and welcome to Manage Your Money God's Way. We are from Compass Catholic Ministries. Our goal is to help you remove all the debt that you've accumulated and show you how to live a debt-free life. Yeah, it can be done. It's going to take some work on your part, but it can be done. Read how we can help simply by going to compasscatholic.org. Take a look at our small group Bible study by clicking on Bible studies. The very first one there is Navigating Your Finances God's Way. John and Evelyn Bean, who are the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministries, join me today. And our discussion is all about honesty and what it takes to be an honest individual in today's material world. So, John, honesty in our society seems to be relative. It means we can change the truth to meet our own perceptions because it claims there is no objective truth.
In a lot of people's minds, there is no truth, period, except what they believe.
I don't think that's true.
However, I do. So you must be wrong.
But there has to be a difference between truth and lies. I mean, you're either truthful or you're not truthful, right?
Yes, I think so. But, you know, our whole environment leads us down a path of deceit. You know, there was a study done in the UK. It was called Intrinsic Honesty and the Prevalence of Rule Violations Across Societies.
Well, that sounds like a real snoozer.
Yeah, it does, really. But if you dig deep into it, what comes out of it is it found that people from more corrupt societies were likely to be more dishonest than those from societies where rule breaking was frowned upon.
Well, that makes sense, because if everybody's doing it, then more people do it, right?
Exactly. They did that experiment over 23 different countries that differ strongly in levels of corruption. I'm not sure where the U.S. fell in that ranking, but there was over 2,500 people tested to see how honest they would be in a situation where people could lie without being found out. So listen to this. What they did is they put somebody in an isolation booth, and they told them to roll the dice twice. And then they were asked to report back on what the first number was. And then they were told that they would receive a cash incentive depending on how high the number was that they rolled. What was immediately clear is that people were honest. Although there was a little bit of cheating, they were surprisingly honest in an experiment where they could cheat as much as they wanted because there was nobody watching over their shoulder. Which leads me to believe, well, how do they know if they were cheating or not? But they seem to have
probably some kind of recording or something.
Yeah, they seem to have some way of doing it. But they didn't see any blatant lying in any country, no matter how corrupt the country was. I think that the result is that, well, people will benchmark their dishonesty with what they think is justifiable in their society and what they're surrounded with in their daily lives. Psychologically, the results show that people want to maintain a self-image of, hey, I'm an honest person. And therefore, they're only going to cheat if it's to their advantage. And that allows them to maintain a positive attitude, positive self-image.
That sounds counterintuitive because they're cheating a little bit, but they're not considering themselves cheaters. But I think that's...
Well, like we said, it's all relative. Right?
Well, and I think that's true because even though we don't realize it, every one of us makes a lot of small decisions every day about being honest. Just think about getting too much change from the cashier and not saying anything, or people that pad their expense report or their timesheets. You know, it's real easy to just fudge a little and think, well, it's okay. Nobody's going to catch me. It's to my advantage. And, you know, I spent a little bit of my own money on the company's time, so therefore they should pay me back.
Yeah,
I mean, you have a story about that.
Well,
one of our friends.
That's true. We got a good friend who runs a company. It's a construction company, and he's got people on job sites, and they get to the job site and they mark their time card. And I mean, there's no punch clock on the job site. He was going through the time, and for two or three of the individuals, it just didn't add up. It didn't make sense because, you know, it seemed like they were working a whole lot more hours than he thought they were based on how much was getting done. And so he asked somebody who was on the sites just to kind of keep track of them. And when he confronted them, they were quite angry about it. He told me, he says, you know, if they'd said, yeah, you're right, I was padding it, I'm sorry, I won't do it again, he would have let it slide and just said, don't do it again. But they got angry, and they accused him, and they blamed him, and all this.
Deflect the blame.
Yeah. It wasn't their fault.
Yeah.
And he fired them.
I understand why he did it, but that's a good lesson in honesty for them and their families, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, I think some people also fudge the numbers on their tax return in order to get more money back. Or one of the things about dishonesty that we've seen is people bringing home supplies from the office.
Yes.
So they don't have to buy them at home.
Yeah.
And there's so many different ways every day that we're faced with being honest or dishonest. And too many times people make the wrong decision because that's how we're influenced by society.
Well, I don't quite remember it that way. As I recall...
You're using words that are...
Fudge words.
Supposedly truthful, but not...
Fudge words.
It's like that pen that you're using. That was a retirement gift.
Seriously? You poor thing.
You know how sometimes you just put a pen in your pocket.
It's a pretty ugly pen, Steve.
Yeah, yeah. No, you just put a pen in your... No, what is that honesty if you accidentally, or I don't know if accident's the right word, put a pen in your pocket, you bring it home?
Well, I think if you're doing it from work, if you're going into the supply cabinet at work and taking 10 pencils because your kid needs pencils for school, that's dishonest.
Right.
If you accidentally put a paperclip in your purse or have a pen that you picked up at work and bring it home.
Or you need to bring home graph paper because the kid's got some kind of project.
Right.
He's got to create a graph, or, you know, you don't have any red pencils at home, but boy, the accounting office has a bunch of red pencils. So,
the rule of thumb would be if you have to stop and think about it, that's dishonest.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, and when you were talking about I don't recall, or as I recall, or I don't quite remember, I mean, how many celebrities do we know, either sports figures or actors or actresses or politicians,
or presidents or whatever,
that get caught and, you know, the words are, well, I don't quite remember, or as I recall, and it's all about trying to appear honest while not being truthful.
Yeah. What's the actual definition of that word?
Truthful?
Tap dancing.
Tell me what you think the difference is between being honest and being truthful.
Well, truthful, I think, is when you confess the whole story, when you think about the whole story. Honesty is when you manipulate the facts enough to not lie.
Okay.
Okay, so think about Johnny playing with the ball in the house. He's bouncing the ball around and having a really good time, and all of a sudden the ball hits a lamp and knocks it over.
Yep.
And Mom walks into the room.
Yep.
And she sees the million pieces of lamp scattered all over the floor, and she asks Johnny, did you break the lamp? And he says, no. Yep. And in his mind, he's being honest because he didn't break the lamp. The ball broke the lamp.
Exactly.
But
that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
But he's not being truthful because he caused the ball to break the lamp. So the baseline is he's responsible for the lamp breaking, not
so
the
that,
ball.
The whole truth and nothing but the truth.
There you go.
Is Johnny's guilty.
Johnny's guilty. Johnny needs to fess up. And Johnny should probably go to confession, too.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's you're right. And it's easy to fudge the truth. I had a great friend, Ralph, and he had gone through some financial problems. And he invited me and a couple other people on a Saturday morning to help him move some furniture around. So I said, sure, no problem. Well, I get there, and there's a U-Haul in front of the house, and what we're doing is we're moving selected furniture into the U-Haul. So, you know, we're about three-quarters of the way done, and I'm looking at the house. I said, boy, it's looking kind of bare here. And I said, Ralph, what are we doing with all this stuff? He says, well, the auditors are coming on Monday, and they're going to assess the value of all of our personal property. So we're taking these things, I'm going to put it in the storage shed so they won't see them.
But these are like IRS auditors or
yeah,
what?
Yeah, bankruptcy auditors, you know. I said, really? I said, that doesn't sound like it's a very honest thing to be doing. And you've taken our Bible study, and I can't believe that you would do that. You know, he stopped me the following week, and he says, you know, John, your words really hit home to me. And let me tell you what happened. After the auditors finished going through all of the house, they had everything valued. I said, come on, I've got to take you someplace because there's more work for you. And I took them to the storage place. And they were saying, well, why are we going to this storage place? I said, well, this is what I did. We took all this stuff out of the house so that you wouldn't see it. I had really huge misgivings about it. And so I'm fessing up. All this stuff belongs to me too. And the auditors valued it and said, okay. And when he got the message or audit back from him, he looked at it and he was really surprised because he felt like they probably had gone really easy on him. And he can attribute that to only one thing.
He was honest.
He was totally truthful. So society tells us we should take care of ourselves first and look out for number one. And when you're doing that, sometimes you're just manipulating the truth.
But the Bible demands absolute honesty. In Proverbs 12:22, it says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord.
You're right. Absolutely. So how do we make decisions about being honest? Society tells us to deal only with the facts that can be seen. But the Bible says we've got to act in a way that displays our faith in the living God. In John 14:6, it says, I am the truth. We need to follow him and be truthful.
You know, and I think when most people are trying to figure out whether they should tell the truth or lie, they think about whether or not they'll get caught. And if we're living from a scriptural basis, then our decision should be based on what pleases God, not if we'll get caught or not. So if we're cheating or lying, it's so easy to think that it's just the government or an insurance company or a business or other taxpayers. I mean, the government that's going to be harmed. But in those situations, we're really harming policyholders or business owners or employees or taxpayers. So we're always harming a person on the bottom line of this. It's not just a big nameless business. We're always harming some individual somewhere along the line.
And anytime we're dishonest, we're harming one of God's children.
Just a reminder, this is Manage Your Money God's Way. We are from Compass Catholic Ministry. We teach what the Bible tells us are the best practices for handling money and possessions. And today we're discussing how to be honest in today's material world. And honesty is one of the topics that is discussed in our small group Bible study called Navigating Your Finances God's Way. And you can see what the other topics are discussed over the 9 weeks simply by going to compasscatholic.org and click on Bible studies and look at Navigating Your Finances God's Way. John and Evelyn Bean, who are the co-founders of the ministry, are with me today. And here's the question that we're going to start back up with. What do you do if you have been dishonest?
Well, the first thing you need to do is have a thorough examination of your conscience to find areas of our life where, you know, we're dealing from a dishonest standpoint.
You know, I agree with you. And anytime we find that dishonesty and uncover it, we should really seek out the sacrament of reconciliation to put ourselves right with God. And after we restore our relationship with God, then we should turn around and restore our relationship with anyone that we've harmed.
So we need to make restitution.
Make restitution if you cheated or been dishonest with somebody.
Have you ever been dishonest, Evelyn?
Well, I ripped off a Bible from an old parish we belonged to, so I guess that's a form of dishonesty.
I guess. As I recall, yes. If I remember correctly.
Yes, I sent them a check when I figured it out. But that's part of it, too, is setting the record straight. So if there are times when you've been less than honest or you discover a mistake from your past like I had, you really need to have the courage to tell people what you did wrong and recognize that you've been dishonest. And if it's a standard thing in your life, you need to recognize those patterns that cause you to be dishonest. You know, like maybe you love to brag about your kids and you embellish their acts and how smart they are and what wonderful things they do instead of being totally honest. So we just really need to pay attention to what we're doing and saying and thinking.
So those who walk uprightly fear the Lord. but those who are devious in their ways spurn him.
No, I know that didn't come from you.
No. Proverbs 14:2. I'm not that smart.
You know, the other thing that we really need to practice is being honest with little things. It's easy to fudge the details and not think that that's being dishonest. But anytime we're dishonest in little things, it's going to carry over into big things. And it's much better to develop those honesty habits in the areas that require less courage first, so that we can be sure we're really 100% totally honest in those areas that are more difficult challenges.
Well, you know, the eighth commandment tells us we should not bear false witness against our neighbor. In other words,
don't lie. And that includes gossip, because gossip a lot of time is just innuendo and things that aren't honest when you're talking about people.
Right.
So that's
right.
A big area.
Right. So we should also emphasize the positive in an honest way. So just because we're being honest doesn't mean that it's our job to point out the faults and the shortcomings of other people. If we focus on the positive, then our honest evaluation of people and situations can be both refreshing and encouraging.
You know, there's a verse from Matthew 5:37 that says, "Let your yes mean yes and your no mean no. Anything else is from the evil one." And that's from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And that's a great example of being totally honest. If you say yes to something, like someone asks you to volunteer at church, you don't say yes and then do a halfway job or back out at the last minute. If you say yes, really mean yes and do what you were asked to do and what you volunteered for.
Or if you don't want to do it at all, just tell them.
Very nicely. You don't have to say, "I think your project is not a good one," or "I think this is a stupid thing to do." You can just say, "I'm sorry, I can't participate."
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's part of the being gracious while you're being honest.
Gracious. That's a trait that I could use some lessons in.
I'll be happy to provide them to you.
A gracious plenty, huh? Another thing is that we shouldn't confuse our preferences with reality. It's easy to color our view of reality based on our own personal likes and dislikes.
So give me an example. What do you mean by that?
I don't know why you would ask me that question, Evelyn.
Like, if you don't like a certain type of food, that's your preference not to like that type of food, like whatever it is, Mexican, Chinese, whatever. But you wouldn't tell people that's a bad restaurant just because your preference is not for that type of food.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Weak.
You're not being cooperative. I like your example.
To be honest with others, we need to recognize that our personal preferences don't change reality. They only change what we feel about certain things. Being honest doesn't mean that we're obligated to express every feeling that we have on the subject. We can keep our mouth closed sometimes.
That's a good point, John. If we have a preference for something other than what's being discussed, we don't have to come in with a negative comment just because that's our preference.
Exactly. And in Judges 17:6, it says, "Every man did what was right in his own eyes." Well, that's the same thing, because, again, it's what's real for me maybe isn't right or just or anything else in the eyes of anybody else.
So what do you do if somebody puts you on the spot and being totally forthright is really not in anybody's best interest? What would you do?
In other words, when you ask me, do I look fat in this dress?
Why are you wearing a dress? That's the question I would ask if I was Evelyn.
You should have the courage to tell him that you really wouldn't rather say.
Oh, that's no wife is ever going to believe that one.
Oh, that can be difficult, I agree, and they're going to press you for an opinion. But you still have the right to speak or remain silent and be in the doghouse for the rest of the week.
But that's, if you're with a group of people, this is not necessarily your spouse, and someone's trying to drag you into a pointless argument, sometimes the best thing you can do is just to be quiet and noncommittal.
I'm just saying, I've had that happen before, and I just say, I'm not going to comment on that. I'm not going there.
Yep. I'm not going there is a good way to put it.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, that's noncommittal, and, it's Actually, it is rather committal, because I'm not going there means that I'm not going there. You know, one is silent and thought to be wise. Another, for being talkative, is disliked.
Okay, now I know you didn't make that one up either.
This is my favorite prophet.
Sirach.
Sirach, yes, yes. Honesty's kind of a tough spot sometimes. How do you handle a situation when you're with a friend who is quite ill or in pain? How do you handle that?
You know? Yeah, that's really hard, because you can't say, well, I'm sure you'll get better, because you're not sure they'll get better.
Right, right.
And it may not be better tomorrow. It may just get worse day after day after day. And it makes us real uncomfortable when we don't know what to say or what to do, and we're trying to be very gracious about responding in a positive way.
You know, I read a meditation from Father Henry Nouwen, and this is what he said, and his stuff is so good. He says, being with a friend in great pain is not easy. It makes us uncomfortable, and we don't know what to do or say. We worry about how to respond to what we hear. Our temptation is to say things that come more out of our own fear than out of our care for the person in pain. And I think that's really true. Sometimes we say things like, well, you're doing a lot better than yesterday, or soon you're going to be your old self again, or I'm sure you'll get over this. But often we know that what we're saying isn't true, and our friends know it too. We really don't have to play games with each other. We can simply say, I'm your friend. I'm happy to be with you. We can say that in words, with touch, or with loving silence. And sometimes it's good to say, hey, you don't have to talk. Just close your eyes. I'm here. I'm thinking about you. I'm praying for you. I'm loving you.
Yeah, that's a good point, John, because we don't want to come up with empty platitudes that really don't do anything except irritate the person we're talking to.
Exactly.
And being honest may not always be the easiest or most convenient course, but honesty is really how we practice the virtue of integrity and how we live our faith. So regardless of how prevalent dishonesty is in our society, we all have the freedom to either choose to follow society or follow God.
Live by a higher standard.
Live by a higher standard. Yep, there you go.
And part of that is done by living out the responsibilities and implications of our faith. We should be ready to dialogue with others about what our faith means to us, but we should do it. You got to take that high road. People of integrity will always recognize and appreciate your honesty and courage. And if they don't, well, that kind of says a little bit about where they are.
Well, and actions always speak louder than words. So if we say we're Christians and we say we're Catholics, and then people see us being dishonest, it really changes their perception of us. So we can't say one thing and do something else.
So we can't be dishonest and still love God.
You got it.
John and Evelyn, again, thank you so much. If you missed any of today's podcasts, don't worry. You can get it on demand. Go to compasscatholic.org, scroll down on the homepage until you get to Compass on the Radio, click it on, download it, and listen at your convenience. Also, if we throw out any websites or little facts about the topics that we're discussing, you'll get to see those links right there on show notes at compasscatholic.org. And as our custom, we like to end the show with some questions from our listeners. And this one goes like this. John and Evelyn, we have about $5,000 in savings, $37,000 left on an auto loan, $89,000 left on our mortgage. Now, we're planning on going on a trip overseas, but your money map suggests paying the auto loan before saving for trips. However, if we wait that length of time it'll take to pay off the loan, the trip will be more expensive then. So what do you suggest?
You know, Steve, I think this is one of those things that you can justify to yourself if you want to spend money. If I take the vacation now, it's going to be less money. But if you've got a large credit card debt, that money you're going to save on buying the vacation now is just getting wasted with paying interest on that credit card debt.
Well, in the savings that you're going to save by taking the trip now, I'm pretty sure is not going to pay off that credit card debt. And probably all you're going to do is add to it, right?
So I think they should wait until they're in better financial shape to take that big fancy trip to Europe.
Absolutely. In the meantime, they can go somewhere, take a weekend trip or something like that, that maybe they only have one overnight, and they can pack a picnic so that they're not spending six meals being gone 2 days. And you just have to be smart about these things. That's all it is.
Smart and frugal.
Great advice, Sean and Evelyn. And that was a difficult one to answer, but I have to agree. With debt still out there, I mean, they have a car loan and a mortgage. Taking a big vacation right now may not be the best thing for their budget. While the trip may be more expensive down the road, I'll agree with them there. I really feel they're going to enjoy it much better knowing that when they come home from this big trip, they're going to have very little debt to contend with. Our next question, great timing. John and Evelyn, we are planning on sending our children to summer camp. The question they have is, summer camp a tax deduction as child care?
Summer camp may qualify for a tax credit. And parents who work or are looking to work and use child care for the kids under 13 years of age can find that child care expenses in an approved center can be deductible, but expenses for overnight camps typically don't qualify.
And you can find out more about that just by Googling IRS 503, which takes you to a site called Child and Dependent Care Expenses. So that'll tell you it's legally tax deductible.
Yeah, and whether it is or not.
Now, if you have a question for John and Evelyn, maybe a question about building a budget or a spending plan, they would love to hear from you. Send your questions to ask, that's A-S-K, at compasscatholic.org. Thank you so much for spending this time with us, and check out our next podcast. This is Manage Your Money God's Way from Compass Catholic Ministries on Redbox Media.